Turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 19, please. All right, Luke 19, and we want to look at a couple of verses here since today is Palm Sunday, and as we exhibited by placing palms here at the altar and the altar rails, I want to share a message in keeping with that of Palm Sunday, and I want to bring out significance of that day, the original Palm Sunday, when Jesus was among the crowds a couple thousand years ago. If you're in Luke 19, let's begin reading with verse 37. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. Blessed the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you, Father, for your word that is light to our path and sustenance for our spirits and our souls. God, we ask that you would minister by your Holy Spirit, that you would take this story and accompanying other little narratives that we'll look at this morning and make it real to every one of our lives, God. We give you thanks for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to entitle the message, Disappointed Disciples. I've told you that I was a pastor in Effingham, Illinois, and I was there for about 6.5 years, and the Lord kind of opened the door for me to kind of be a community pastor, not just a church pastor, and that was a real privilege, and part of that entailed making hospital visits to some people that requested a pastor who didn't have one, and so because I was at the hospital on a regular basis making visits, The emergency room personnel knew me. In fact, we had a couple of people that went to our church that worked at the hospital. But anyway, so, and they also knew that I speak Spanish quite fluently. And so I, you know, I've made my services available because there were some feedlot workers that would work there in the Effingham area that would sometimes go to the doctors that needed someone to interpret for them. So, you know, it was all great and all fun and giggles and a barrel of monkeys until I got a call at 2 a.m. one night. And it was a nurse on the other line and saying, "Pastor Joe, this is such and such nurse at this hospital, and we need you to come immediately. We have a Mexican gentleman who has been shot in the stomach. And we need someone to interpret for us." I said, "Well, I'll be there immediately." You know, so I got dressed and drove to the hospital. Was there in about 10 minutes. And don't ask me how far the hospital was. That's irrelevant to the story. So, showed up there, and there's you know, they lead me from the opening parts of the ER, and then lead me through this little kind of labyrinth of different rooms. And there he was. They pulled back the curtain. There was this guy lying on the table there. He had been shot. And so I'm trying to get a story from him. The nurses are all kind of scurrying around, getting his records and such. And so I'm speaking to this guy in Spanish. And I said, "What happened to you?" Well, he said, "Well, you know," he's kind of in distress. And he's like, "Well, you know, we were drinking, and my buddies and I, and we had a little falling out." And so, as typical Mexican men do in Mexico, they get in an argument, somebody gets their feelings hurt, so they pull out a gun and they shoot each other. So this guy had been shot in the stomach because he had a little disagreement with another Mexican buddy of his, because they were both plastered. And so I'm thinking, okay, so I was there, and so when the nurse wasn't around, I'm beginning to lecture him. You know, "Hey, but you really shouldn't be drinking like that, especially if you have a loaded gun." "Well, you know," and so I'm trying to talk to him. You don't want to do this. You don't have this done. Okay, it was great. Helped the nurse to help him. I went back home, got whatever sleep I could. 3 weeks later, 3 short weeks later, I get another call in the middle of the night. Guess what? Same guy, same situation, and this time I'm a little ticked off. Right? I mean, I'm doing this out of the good graces, getting up in the middle of the night. I normally don't do that unless it's a real legitimate emergency. And these guys weren't church members of mine. Well, Joe, don't you care for the people that are not in the church? I do, but not when they're stupid like this. How many of us know that I can work, as a human being, I can only work with stupid so long, but then I just got to give up? Only God has a solution for that kind of stupid. There he's sitting, you know, lying on the same table, bleeding, and I'm like, I said, what happened? Same situation. We were drinking, and my buddy started saying this about my mother, and so I pulled out a gun. I said, how dare you? And pow! And the guy shot this guy, and so I'm like, okay. So while the nurse is there, I'm playing nice. I've got the pastoral face on, just looking so angelic, you know, like a little pastoral cherub, little Mexican cherub. And I'm talking to this guy, and the nurse leaves, and I put on my stern face, and I said, you know what? And I told him exactly like this. If you do this again, I'm not going to wake up in the middle of the night. I'm not driving here. I'm going to let you die on that table. Well, he should have seen the countenance on his face. He went from hopeful to depressed and disappointed. And well, Pastor Joe, would you do that? Yeah, because these are grown men. Come on, somebody. Anyway, finished there. I talked to the nurse, and I did have a nice pastoral conversation with the nurse. And I said, miss, if this happens again, I told the gentleman, I'm not coming out. And you should have seen her. I could have slapped her with a wet fish across her face because she was disappointed. It's like, how could you? What am I trying to get at? You know, some people, there are how many of you know people get disappointed in life? I want to talk about disappointment because this whole thing about the palms, you know, people were at a fever pitch waving these. They were putting them on the ground. They were putting their coats on the ground for Jesus as he's riding into Jerusalem on a donkey on the road. So they're all saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Who knows what Hosanna means? It means save us. Save us. Save us. But what kind of salvation were the people hoping for? They were hoping for an earthly king, weren't they? They were not looking for a spiritual savior. They wanted to be saved from Roman bondage. In fact, go with me to Luke 24. And let's look at a little more insight. Let's fast forward past the crucifixion. Let's fast forward past the resurrection. And we're going to look at two guys on the road to Emmaus. So we go from Luke 19 to Luke 24. Let's begin reading with verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is it that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? See, these guys were disappointed. Verse 18. Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and in power before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. Notice the next four words in verse 21. But we were hoping. But we were hoping. Isn't that kind of like the springboard to disappointment? We were hoping, what were they hoping? That it was he who was going to redeem Israel. I like the Amplified Version that says, we were hoping that it was he who was going to save and set free the nation of Israel. And were they thinking spiritual? What were they thinking? Earthly. They were thinking political. They were thinking militaristic king. They weren't thinking a spiritual king. Okay, and then it says here, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Were these guys disappointed? Yep. So let's recapture this moment, okay? They went from Hosanna, Hosanna. Listen carefully to 1 week later, they're saying, crucify, crucify. How significant is this Palm Sunday? Let's show them a picture of what a modern day Palm Sunday would be in our country. What's that? Ticker tape parade, right? Who are they welcoming? They're welcoming servicemen, right? From war? See, that's what the palm branch signified in Jesus' time. They were welcoming a national hero into a city. See, this is military for us. For Jesus, they thought we're going to welcome with palms. They didn't have ticker tape back then, but they had palms. They said, let's welcome Jesus. He's our national hero. He is strong enough. He is powerful enough. He has the might and God's blessing on him to kick Rome from us, away from us, and to overthrow their power. See, what were their expectations? The palms represented earthly hopes, right? You're taking notes, write this down. Disappointment comes primarily through unmet expectations. Who's ever had unmet expectations? You know, I find it comical to illustrate this. This could apply to many areas of life, but I can tell you right now this morning that I get a big kick out of young couples that are engaged and are looking forward to their wedding day. I love the way the lady looks at the man, like, oh, you're going to be my hero, you're going to be my Fabio, you're going to be my Jeff Bezos monetarily. You got expectations, and then you have the man, oh, she's going to be my fine little wife, she's going to be my cleaner-upper, she's going to be my great cook, she's going to be my Martha Stewart, she's going to be my Madonna in a different area of life. She's going to be my, and everybody's got expectations. Am I right? Yep. You know what I think of that as? As those, they're looking at each other the way a tick looks at a dog. Now, the problem is, church family, is listen, you have two ticks. There's no dog. Then you wonder why there are disappointments in the marriage. You can quote me on this. This is Job 3:16. Two ticks, no dog. That's how disappointments happen. Now, in the story that we have, who were the ticks and who did they think was the dog? Jesus, they said, he's our dog. He's our meal ticket to liberation from Rome, political and militaristic. We're going to be a free country at last. We're going to enjoy the heights that we once enjoyed in the history of Israel when David was king of Israel. That was their thinking. But was Jesus the right dog, quote unquote? I'm not trying to be irreverent with my words. No. Wrong expectation, right? So now you want to know, so I said unmet expectations create disappointment, right? You know what else comes from unmet expectations? Anger. It does disappointment, but also anger. Okay, can we keep it real this morning? How many of us know, church family, if I'm just standing up here and giving you a theology lesson, it's a waste of our time? Think of all the relationships you've been in. I don't mean romantically. I mean sisters, uncles, maybe parents, maybe siblings, etc. Think of the times you got angry at someone. Was it because they did not meet your expectation? Sometimes, right? So is it safe to say that anger comes about with unmet expectation? Okay, can we look at the story of Jesus? What happened in one short week, they went from save us, Hosanna, Hosanna, to what? Crucify, crucify. They did a lot of things because they were motivated by anger and jealousy. Okay, so let's move on. How deep does the pain of disappointment run?
Pretty deep.
Someone betrays you. Someone you thought was a trusted friend stabbed you in the back and twisted the knife. Yikes. Yes. Do you realize at one time I had an accountability friend? This was my mistake. That accountability friend should not have been in the same church I was pastor of, but he was. And so everything I confided to him, he got angry at me and he told everybody. How many of you would consider that betrayal?
Yeah.
Betrayal. Or maybe a loved one, maybe a spouse walks out of the relationship. Maybe a spouse says, I'm cashing my chips. D-O-N-E. Right? Or what about, we had a beautiful baby dedication. Wow, and aren't children a blessing of the Lord? What about an expectant couple that are looking forward to their first child only to find out that there's no heartbeat anymore? And the doctor says, there's a stillbirth in you. Now we're talking about the pain of disappointment. How deep does that run, church family? How deep will that run for that young couple? Well, Joe, it's disappointment. How many of us know that God has an answer to disappointment? For every scenario that I mentioned, and probably many others that I haven't, because we just simply don't have the time to go through every conceivable scenario that disappointment presents to all of us. But God has a solution. Some might say, well, Pastor Joe, what could God possibly do as a solution for a baby that cannot be replaced? A baby that never had a shot at life. A baby that had held a lot of promise, but did not have the opportunity to live his or her life. Okay? Can I offer you something of a solution? How about that baby being in Jesus' care until you go see him or her in heaven? How about that baby never been sick? How about that baby never been crying? How about that baby never been betrayed? How about that baby never having known pain because they're in heaven with Jesus until it's your time to go see him or her and hold them in heaven? Am I right? See, my friends, it's easy to get short-sighted, and disappointment hurts. It hurts like the dickens. It's very real pain, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus heals the pain of disappointment, no matter how deep it runs. He is a healer. If we're willing, listen, and I'm going to close on this note, and it's very important, church family, it's very, very, very important. Are we willing to trust him with our disappointment? Are we willing to trust Jesus with the pain of our disappointments? We don't know how he will answer us, but are you open enough to let him answer you in the way only he can answer you? Your mind might not be able to conceive what a solution for your disappointment looks like, but why don't we let him define that instead of us trying to figure it out? Right? He is a healer. He is a restorer. He is a good God. How can I speak of this? You know, my daughter, I just got a phone call from her this morning. She is in Mason City. She lives, my daughter that's pregnant, as my birthday gift. I just get a call today. And she says, Dad, I'm in town. I said, why didn't you tell me? I said, I'm already driving to church. She said, well, why don't we do lunch? I said, okay. And I said, I was just thrilled. But she had a miscarriage with her first baby. She's pregnant with her second baby. But she has hope that one of these days she'll get to be in heaven and hold her mandolin in heaven, in the presence of Jesus. Is that a real solution? You better believe it. So I know a little bit from whence I speak. But how many of you were blessed with the teaching of God's word this morning? Is this good? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you, God, that Palm Sunday represented so much disappointment and hurt. Father, to the tune of people's hearts changing and growing cold from Hosanna, Hosanna, to crucify, crucify. God, teach us to look to you in our disappointments. Help us not to be hardened. Help us not to grow cynical. Help us, Lord, not to turn our hearts away from you or against you because of ways that we thought that we were hoping, things that we were hoping would happen that didn't. Help us to submit to your sovereignty in Jesus' name. Amen.